A little over a week ago, 60% of you did something that no one compelled you to do. 60% of you, with the new year, resolved to change, to exercise more, to read more, to quit smoking. But why now? You could have gotten that Y membership in the summer. You could have quit smoking or picked up a book in the fall. Why now? And the only answer I could see is that we don't simply want to change. We want a new beginning. We have within us a deep desire for a fresh start. And so each year we do this, even though statistically, by mid-February, 80% of you will have abandoned your resolve. Even though we know it's futile, we do it because we have this longing for a new beginning. To start over. In these silly little New Year's resolutions, we are asking a very serious question. Does my past have to define me forever? Are my failures irredeemable? I hope not, and you hope not as well. We hope that our foolish choices and our sinful choices will not define us forever. That none of that will be the last word on who we are. And it's this desire for a new beginning, this hope, that brings the children of Israel to the River Jordan. After all, the River Jordan is the place where they first entered the Promised Land, where Israel had a new beginning as a new people, free from slavery, free from the desert. Now the scriptures tell us many of the children of Israel have come to begin again, to be delivered not from slavery or wandering, but from sin and guilt, not from evils out there, but from evil in here. And for this, they go to John the Baptist. Not just anyone, but to John. John, the son of a priest with the vocation of a prophet. You see, John the Baptist, in his own person, summed up the law and the prophets, as the son of a priest with the calling of a prophet. It was as if the people are coming to the one man who, in his own person, sums up all of the old covenant. And they go to this one man to say, help us. Help us begin again. Help free us from the darkness and the evil in here. Help give us that new start. But John cannot. For he tells the people, there is one mightier than I. I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In other words, you need a new beginning, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. You see, John's baptism was merely a sign of the people's resolve. It was a sign of their commitment, their desire to begin again. But our resolve, our commitment, our desire is not enough. We know that. Something more is needed. God had to enter the water. God had to become flesh. And that's what he does. And that's why on this day, the babe that was lying in the manger has become the man standing in the water. On this day, he takes the water of baptism and in effect says, this is no longer a ritual of your commitment to God, but now it is to become a sacrament of God's commitment to you. A new beginning wrought only by his grace. This is the new beginning that he offers in holy baptism. A new beginning of a new life and a new heart. A new beginning by grace that we can renew in the sacrament of his body and blood, in the sacrament of reconciliation. You see, the promise in baptism is that we have been and can be changed. Not by willpower, but by his power, by his grace, by the working of his mercy. The promise of baptism is that our sins do not define us, but in him, the grace of the living God, the adoption as his children can define us. In the promise of baptism, we have been given a new beginning. And in the sacraments of the Eucharist and reconciliation, the opportunity for a new beginning, even every day. So that in the words of the psalmist, we can know that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Even this scene, though, with heaven opened, with God the Trinity revealed, in the voice of the Father, in the presence of the Spirit, and in the flesh of the Son. Even this scene points to the final new beginning. When the creation, which he is now delivering from guilt and sin, will one day be delivered from its last enemy, death. You see, the only longing that unites us more than being freed from guilt and sin is the longing we have to be freed from death, to see our families freed from death. And this is not something our resolve, our commitment, or our willpower can achieve. We cannot give our bodies or our lives the new beginning that they desire. For that, God had to step into the water. And the beauty of the gospel is that this God who stepped into the waters of the Jordan, this God-man, did not stop there. But in the words of David, he let the waves of death encompass him. He let the torrents of perdition assail him. He let the waters of death swallow him for a time, so that we could know that in him they will only have us for a time, before death itself one day is swallowed up in life. And we, his people, are given with his creation a new and glorious beginning from which there shall be